Hello, and welcome to episode 115 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, the creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me for this week's bungee jump off the bridge that is small press comics is the creator of the epic superhero webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Thank you. Hello.
Dan, this week I didn't ignore the name of the actual webcomic. In last yes. last week's episode, I just said Dan Butcher was an epic superhero webcomic, and that was it.
Yeah, well, it's not a lie, is it? To be fair.
Well, we only mentioned the title about 50 times per episode, so
yeah.
Sure, we can get away with 49.
Done all right, one.
Yeah. And as you can hear there, it's the best Mother's Day gift anyone could ever have. It's Tony Esmond.
Don't say that, because we just heard that somebody's mum might listen to this, and I'm feeling all insecure now, because all I ever say is I just sort of jump in and shout boobs a lot, and that's about it. Really? Oh, God. I feel the pressure's too much on me today.
It's what you bring to the show, Tony. It's fine.
I know.
Yeah. Highbrow.
It's what listeners love.
Yeah. And you can probably hear our two guests. Yes, two guests trying not to laugh. Hey. They're two parts of the female comics creative, Wine and Zine, which I always want to say Wine. Is it Wine and Zine or Wine and Zine?
Wine and Zine. We always say it the other way around, and then we're like, oh, no, it's the other way.
Yeah. Not even us. No, you mean no.
There's no laws here.
There's no laws.
Exactly.
This is a lawless land on the Awesome Pod. but, yeah, anyway, Wine and Zine, who not only released their gender swap art zine Swap earlier this year, but they will also be making a big splash at Thought Bubble, which is very soon, where they will have the release of the book Lost Light. So it's our pleasure to welcome Bryony Evans and Claire Spiller to the show.
Hello.
Hey, all right. Hello. Good. This is where we pretend we haven't been speaking for 10 minutes. It's really good.
Why do you ruin the illusion, Tony?
I know, I ruin it all the time.
You're like that show that like spoils magic tricks. Do you know what I mean?
I wonder where you're going with that.
Yeah.
It could go anywhere, really.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you where everyone should go, and that's to comichouse.com. Look, I've got to get my segues in early, because normally by the end of the show they're just proper rubbish. Anyway,
and that was good.
Good for me. Yes, thank you once again to our friends at Comic House for helping us keep the lights on. And Tony, his rider is filled with M&Ms, isn't it, Tony?
Yep, I'm ready for the beta. I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah, you probably think it's just something you make eggs with. But Comic House is the place where small press creators can list and sell their books to the masses. It's a proper good network, and it's easy to add your work to their database, and easy to purchase titles from your favourite indie creators. Now, Pete from Comic House got in touch with me this week, and as he wants to get the app, the Comic House app, which is essentially Netflix for comics, the beta is going to be launching, hopefully at Thought Bubble.
Nice.
So, I know Tony doesn't know what it is, but I'm sure all of our lovely listeners know what a beta is. But for Tony, Dan, what is a beta?
It's like kind of like
the vest you wear, isn't it?
No,
it's like the trial run. You kind of bring out the beta run, and like everyone tests it. He gets all the bugs out of it, and then when it's all been kind of, you get the feedback for it. Yeah, and bugs ironed out, then it's released to the general populace. Yeah.
Are we going to get to do that? Is that something we can do?
Probably. I think so.
That sounds exciting.
We can do so much, but as they want to launch that at Thought Bubble, all you creators out there, be sure to get your stuff uploaded and on Comic House, so that when it goes up alive and kicking, the people that get it will probably be able to see your books and read them. And also, they'll be splitting the subscription and advert revenue 50-50 with between creators and Comic House, based on how many times each individual book is read.
Awesome.
So there you go.
So it doesn't charge you to read it, though, does it? You just pay your subscription and you can read as many as you like. Is that right?
Yes. You'll be able to read from their library. So
I presume, say they had a pot of £100 a week and all the different titles are read a certain amount, you get a percentage of that. Your one's read a lot more, you get a higher percentage, I presume.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That sounds exciting.
Well, I can't do maths, so I wouldn't know about that.
I was pushing myself with the percentages there.
Yeah. As soon as you brought in that word, I thought, oh,
God. Yeah, I sense that's why you went for 100.
Yeah, I thought, bloody hell, 100 quid. Yes, so get onto comichouse.com, all you lovely creators out there. I know there's a few people that have found out about Comic House and this app from this show, so be sure to get stuck in. I also need to sort out myself and upload my stuff.
Oh,
So
we're doing it.
Yeah, Dan's ahead of the curve because I don't know how you do it, Dan. Where do you find the time?
I don't know.
Right, we won't have Dan as a guest anytime soon.
Yeah, no.
My mouth is writing checks and my ass is cashing them, but
oh dear.
Might be going over to the overdrawn very soon.
Where's this metaphor going? I don't know. Is it going now? No, make a withdrawal. I don't know what that means.
It's bounced.
Before this
goes horribly badly, let's get the guests in.
Too late for that.
Too late.
I'm logging into my account. No.
What a setup.
Yes. Now, Wine and Zine, they're an artistic creative collective. How do you describe yourselves?
Oh, yes.
Claire?
You describe yourselves as Claire, but that's only
one.
That's cool. Just if anyone asks you, just say a first name.
That's the only word Brian knows. we call ourselves a collective, don't we?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
A comics collective or a coming together of creators is something that we've seen a couple of times over the past few years, isn't it? Guys.
Yeah, there's a couple have happened while we've been on the air, haven't they? Yeah.
While we've been on the air? Oh, right, okay. Yes, since episode one, yes. And I think they're quite an interesting topic, and just the idea of it, and like how the pros and the cons, and why they came about. So we're going to talk about this subject, and the best way to do it, we had a question from SJ Webster,
mm-hmm.
who said he's also looking forward to this show and finding out more about it. So he said, good old Sam. He said, what was the defining moment that made you decide to start or join a collective?
Yeah.
Right, do you want me to start?
Yeah, you do.
Claire? I think the concept of swap came before we decided to be a collective.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just something that we produced this body of work together. And then we're just like, should we give it a name? Like our group a name rather than being like, this is a zine from five separate people.
Yeah, we thought like having a piece of work, but then having five names, because it was all like our name, you know, first name, surname.
Yeah, it all seemed a bit just disjointed, especially when we are not particularly well established ourselves. Like this is new ground for us. So we thought if we... Stick a funky group name. Something to do with alcohol. And...
Yeah, I was good. We're going to be asking you about that one.
I think it was just a more digestible, just for the customers, like rather than remembering five separate
names.
It's
much catchier.
Yeah, and it's catchier and it's a bit fun. And we've all agreed on it. We all thought it was a pretty fun word for branding. We're all friends. Like we all went to uni together. Okay. We all did an animation course in Newport. So we've worked together in a group before. So we know we can do it.
Yeah.
But this was different because it wasn't like you'll get a grade at the end. It was like just do it because you know you're passionate about a project or you know you want to like sell some art together. Yeah. So.
And it's just the joy of working together again when we're split across the UK at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Okay.
Well, that's interesting you put it that way because I would worry, you know, working with a group of people who are perhaps my friends because there's always the possibility that you'll fall out. But if you've actually, not only are you friends, but you've also worked together, then that's advantage, isn't it, surely, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah.
So who do you really not like, Bryony, in the group?
Oh, fucking Claire, man.
We're all very different people, but
yeah.
We mesh really well.
Yeah,
somehow.
I think that's
how it works.
I think that's the key. Like, there's no, can't really describe.
And we all have very different styles and interests, but we still have something, I don't know what, in common.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that's definitely obvious in Swap, that there is the definite artistic, you can tell the difference between the styles. But thematically, it gels. It works. Yeah. It works together, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, how So Swap came before the actual collective.
Yeah, we were. It was all of us. Which was me, Claire, Gemma Roberts, Jessica Leslaw, and Zara Williams, and we all just had once. I don't know. It's like twice a year. Maybe we might all meet up.
Yeah,
because we're all totally on different ends of the UK. Mm.
But always in contact. I'm guessing because of email and WhatsApp and all kinds.
Oh yeah, I don't know how this possibly would have been. I don't think this would have been possible without like technology. Yeah. Basically,
yeah. Yeah.
That's what we were saying earlier. Is that now is a great time to be doing this because we wouldn't have been able to do this without Skype.
Oh, definitely. You'd have to post things to each other and post them back and all this sort of thing, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Google Drive has been amazing.
Yeah.
Not that I'm plugging it, but...
It's yeah, Swap wouldn't exist without technology, basically, because, yeah, we are not geographically close to each other at all. We're all on...
Apart from you and me.
Well, yeah. Apart
from Bristol.
Well, apart from Gemma and Zara, who live together. And
they're ridiculous.
Communication is key in a collective.
I'm in Cardiff, Claire's in Bristol, Jess is in London, and Gemma and Zara are in Chester. So we're covering all a bit of bases, which is pretty good. We've all come up from like different backgrounds as well. Like, we're all buddies, so it's sort of it's always quite fun. To like hang out with people that, you know, aren't exactly the same as you. Like Jess is obsessed with musicals, so obviously she brought that to Swap. Like, all her pages are musical based.
Right.
And, that's one of her biggest passions. And then we're all a bunch of nerds,
really.
Oh,
we are.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine the tumbleweed, though, when one of you went, oh, why don't we all do a collective and all be comic creators, and none of you are into it? That'd have been embarrassing.
there is that trust as well of suggesting something, and if it just falls flat on your face, you're just like,
yeah, we're misunderstood in our time. You know what I mean? There's a bit of that, isn't there? You know,
you've all come from an animation base. Were you studying animation together? Is that correct?
Yeah, we're all in the same year. We're all in the same class at Newport.
Yep.
That place.
Wonderful little city.
It doesn't exist anymore, actually. The animation course that is there, it's now moved over to Cardiff. So we're a dying breed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Animation people.
I don't know, the Attic Studio guys, I don't know if you know them. They're a couple of them are based in animation, aren't they? That's their day job, I think. Yeah.
Dan Harris has worked in animation a fair bit.
Yeah.
I can definitely see like why animators would be drawn to it, because when you're animating all day, you know, you still want to be creative, but sometimes you just want to do something different. Mm. So doing like a zine or a comic is a really good outlet where still being creative, but you just it's still it's a really different like skill set. Which
how many of you, there's like three of you that are still in animation, isn't it?
Yeah, me, Jess, and Jem are currently like in the animation industry.
Yeah, and that's something that I've moved away from, and I definitely have found comics much more satisfying in the sense of having a product at the end of the day and not having to wait like a year.
Yeah,
for everything to really slowly come together.
Yeah.
And for my personality, that matches me a lot better, I think.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, I think everyone needs a little creative output, don't they, in their lives? You know, sometimes.
Definitely,
I think being able to step away from the day job and do something that is so different.
I think that's why, maybe a side point, but why those colouring books were so took off in such a big way, that there's people wanted that output and they didn't have anywhere to kind of be artistic, as it were. And when these came along and people tapped into that, and where you go.
Yeah. That's why men of a certain age pick up the guitar, isn't it? I think it's a similar sort of...
That's it.
Yeah. It's weird, not suggesting you like having a midlife crisis of any kind, but
that's not it.
I did study animation for a couple of years.
Definitely, I've noticed that.
I said after a couple of years of studying animation, I must have been about 6 months into it and thought, this ain't for me. That kind of sucks because I had another year and a half of it, but it's kind of like the idea of kind of the drawing the same stuff over and over and over. And I was doing it before computer stuff, really, but it's different. But like you said, it's kind of the personality of being able to work into a little segment of it or wanting to see the end product. I guess that kind of factors into it quite heavily.
Yeah, I think I struggled in the studio quite a bit, didn't I? Especially in the third year, where I'd do a bit of work and then I'd get up and bother someone else. And like rolling around the studio on my wheelie chair, bothering everyone working. Yeah. I still got the film done, but
dude,
oh, it was hard.
Oh man, yeah, you did. Yeah, your film was amazing.
Thank you. So was yours.
Yeah, but like, how long was yours?
Was that 3 minutes?
Okay. Yeah, but you did maybe a. I had like a little army of minions helping me on the colouring, and you didn't have any of that.
No, I don't like working with other people. This collective.
Yeah,
well,
let's call into it now. You heard your joke. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's
good. Going back to the collective, Sam Webster, he brought up, he couldn't understand why people got into collectives or did collectives. What would you say the strengths of being in a collective are?
Okay, strengths are... Well, like, I guess, I don't know, it's almost like you're working with people you respect and really like, and then at the end you get this product that you're like, we did it, like.
Mm. Yeah, it feels like much more of an achievement when it's the lot of us together, and especially because we have this bond and this relationship. Yeah. And
I mean, because it is also, you know, making sure everyone's on the same page is a challenge in itself. Like, you got to make sure everyone knows, okay, we're doing this, right? Not like this. Mm. So we found Skyping is a lot easier just to make sure everyone's like, okay, cool, it's definitely this, right? Yeah. Whereas typing, yeah, people do interpret a lot of stuff differently. So we've learned a lot about... you know, working as a team, like we can still transfer those skills with other people, not necessarily just us as well, like,
yeah,
making sure rules is the wrong word, but
no, I get you. I mean, we've done a bit of that recently as well. I mean, we've got a couple of ventures on the go now ourselves beyond the podcast, you know, so we have to have little planning meetings, and you know, we sometimes come on online sort of half an hour before a show and talk through what we're going to do, where we're going to sell it, how we're going to do it, you know, what we're going to book. You know, there's a lot to it, isn't there?
There's that people management aspect that doesn't exist when you're working by yourself. Because like, by yourself, you know, you just do it. Like, you don't need to check with anyone else. But when it's a collaborative thing, you just need to check. So there was also, you know, with Swap, it was like, what's the front cover look like? And context pages, like, what's that going to look like? Stuff like that.
I think one of the funniest things we were talking about earlier is, at uni, we were always told that we would be really good producers, the lot of us.
Right, okay.
So I think that we're just a bunch of producers.
Which I loathed. Together. I loathed that fact. And I'm... Who's the most producery person?
You. Absolutely. Hands down.
I'm the one setting the deadlines, and I'm the one like...
It's just in you, Brian.
I hate it. I don't want it. Take this gift away from me.
You're prepared to have the stress then, I take it, aren't you? The stress of, you know, it's sitting on your shoulders, aren't you, sometimes? I think someone has to do that a little bit, don't they? You know?
I mean, I don't know why I like it. Like, I guess
right.
I just...
You don't have to know why. It's okay.
It's just punishing myself.
Yeah. It's good to the collective have been able to kind of like go with someone and say, does this work or not, and get that kind of feedback, and I find that great. I mean, we do that between us, like on the WhatsApp group, send stuff, so does this work, and their suggestions, and it's good to get like an honest opinion of saying, yeah, it's not working, or it is, and you know that that's a trustworthy kind of source, because you want to put together the best product you can, really, and
definitely.
Yeah, that's really valuable.
I mean, we learned a lot through Swap, just from printing, to be honest. I'm really glad we did Swap before we did Lost Light.
Yeah.
We learned a lot about colour and how not to make it.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Like, Swap, although it turned out great and we're really proud of it, compared to what we were actually doing digitally, it is so much darker.
The classic. Were you working in RGB and you had to convert it to CMYK? And
okay, I was not, but I feel like maybe the PDF was maybe converted to RGB.
RGB.
Not sure. But I think just
it was
generally
definitely something we were talking about because you guys are always used to working in RGB.
Yeah, so we
digital formats.
And Yeah, well, we learned that lesson. And
it's fine. It looks good. So yeah,
every project has to be a learning lesson, doesn't it? Right. Even if you're hugely proud of it, there's always going to be things that are like, oh, could have done that better. Or, you know, oh, that didn't get cropped correctly, etc. Learn that for next time. Mm-hmm. You know, so the next book's definitely always going to be the best one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's the definitely way we're thinking about it. Like, yeah, we learned a lesson from Swap, and then while we were also doing Swap, Claire was doing Lost Light.
Yeah, so I could pick up on those accidents.
Yeah,
recover the comic in a month.
Because Lost Light is the first actual sort of story produced from you guys, isn't it? A sort of a sequential piece. That's the first one. First of many, is it? I'm guessing.
Well, it's actually technically not part of Wine and Zine.
Technically, no.
Technically, it's just Claire.
Yeah. I think when we're doing things independently, they're not technically part of Wine and Zine.
Like the brand. But Wine and Zine will still advertise it and, like, push it.
Because that's one of the advantages, isn't it? Like, because you're together, you can all... Like, that's five voices who can promote, isn't it, really? Mm. Talk about their friends' work, etc.
It's very useful as a marketing tool as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think people just like the wine aspect.
Yeah.
It's quite surprising.
Followers, Brian.
It's just not insulting, just pleasantly surprised. I'll put it that way.
Good.
Because...
Go on,
there's some calls that they talk about, like, getting comic creators together by unionizing them. And I personally don't kind of think that holds water, but collectives... are certainly a way to go forward.
We see quite a few successful ones, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the Close to Immortality
guys,
they've changed now.
Sarah Millman, that was on your show, a few episodes ago. I don't think she was sure about the whole unionizing thing because people are so different.
Yeah.
But I agree with that. Like,
yeah, me too.
You know, we example as creators in if you put comics in like a box, like we're gonna be pretty small on the minority.
Yeah,
we're not into like the big house names, like, you know, like, so superhero genres, we're probably not gonna create much content of that genre, like, at all. Like, we're gonna be much more I don't even know what a genre you put us in, or if genre should be mentioned, but we're like, I definitely put us in like the indie category, and I think our stories, in a sense, it's just gonna be what anyone creates, like, so Swap is an example, as in just a, like, almost like a stylistic introduction, like, here are the members, like, here's a fun gender swap thing we've done.
So it's almost a calling card, isn't it? I think, and it works like that.
We had a lot of fun making that as well.
Yeah, like, that's the most important thing.
There will be others,
because it's sort of like, it's fan art, but it's a skewed one, because you are redesigning the characters, and so it's not like just a drawing the character in your own style. It's also redesigning them slightly.
So what's the score with selling that? Because you've got a lot of people's IPs in there. I take it if you just stay small, you're not going to get any problems with it. Is that right? Or
I don't think it's going to get.
Because I know some conventions aren't allowed fan art, are they?
Yeah, I've got a feeling MCM's gone that way. That's also why we did it. It was a gender swap.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've not seen any of that enforced whatsoever. I mean,
no.
They all seem to have it in their T's and C's, but...
I was kind of surprised, because it's all over the internet. If anything, there were certain things we couldn't do, because it was just... It had been done a billion times on the internet.
Yeah, of course.
So we tried to pick franchises and shows that it was...
Yeah, just, I think if you went for Kirk and Spock, you there'd be a few out there, wouldn't there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Research was interesting. Do you want to talk about your Bowser research?
Oh yeah, don't search female Bowser.
Never search. No. Never Google search female Bowser.
It's a dark place. Tumblr's a dark place, isn't it? I've got to tell you.
Yeah,
a few dark areas to Tumblr. Yeah.
What other ones did we struggle with?
Oh, let me think.
That was a fun Skype session.
That was.
There's got to be some dodgy Harry Potter stuff out there. What's the girl? I've never seen a Harry Potter movie. What's the girl in Harry Potter?
Am I? Am I in
yeah, it? There's a wealth of problems there somewhere, I suspect.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one that's a lot of people have interpreted.
Yeah.
Just, right. That's female Bowser, yeah. There's some
female Bowser, stay away from that
Dan,
one.
Dan, you didn't Google that live on the show, did you?
Yeah,
live. That's a brilliant experiment. That's live art.
Oh.
That's
art. Okay. So we wanted to stay away from just, like, for male characters into female, staying away from just whacking boobs.
Yeah,
we wanted to be a bit
like
more
eyelashes and boobs, like,
which is so hard for Rick from Rick and Morty. So hard. I could not, like,
you did a respectful job.
He was hard because as a character there is no female equivalent that I could think that exists.
Oh, okay.
But isn't that the sign of a good character?
I mean, yeah, but that's also a sign of, like, you know, like, I guess generally for female characters, they're not all going to be drunk all the time and burping and, you know, yeah. Like, Rick's naked, like.
Have you never been to Croydon, or?
But also, like, a genius, like, I just couldn't think of, you know, sometimes when I was thinking of characters, I was thinking, like, oh, what actor or actress can I maybe take a little bit of influence? But there was nothing for Rick. I just couldn't think of anything. So I was a bit like, fuck, is it just going to be... Oh, there we go. Sorry, Claire's mum. I'm such an angel. I don't want to just whack some eyelashes and boobs onto him, but I mean, that's kind of... Because I was also thinking, like, oh, you know, what kind of boobs would Rick have? He's quite a scrawny guy. If you give him tiny boobs, he just looks like Rick.
But I think the whole point of it is, isn't it? Like, even though the genders are swapped, you can immediately recognise who they are.
Oh yeah, that was them. Yeah.
And from also, that Rick and Morty one, you know, that's one of my favourites. And I think it's spot on.
I think you can buy that as an A4 print at Thoughtbubble.
Hey,
look at that marketing. Hey,
I like this. I like Super Mario Sisters. I like the idea of that. That's
the Maria sisters.
Yeah.
Woo! Super Maria sisters.
I had one to not add boobs and big lips because of the style of Nintendo. Like,
yeah, when Super Mario. When we were looking at female characters for Nintendo.
Oh, there's not many, and for a reason.
Oh.
Did you get anyone who was a little bit touchy about it? Anyone who
Not
so far, no.
Yeah, this is something that
we talk
about.
We are prepared for someone to be angry about it.
Just jump over the table. I know you're up for it, Bryony. Just jump over the table and
up. Let's go! I guess gender swap can be quite a topical event.
Yeah.
Anyway, but what we were basically just doing was we just wanted to do something fun, and we love female characters, like, you know, characters that we can relate to and stuff like that. So we're like, take our favourite stuff, swap the gender, and I think it just also makes people think about, oh yeah, why is that a guy?
Or we weren't thinking about it too deeply.
I was like, oh, this is, what if people get a bit, like,
I was thinking of it more from a narrative perspective.
Yeah, definitely.
You make this character the opposite gender, does that affect the story?
Yeah, exactly.
I would definitely read a comic, a love story based on the woman from the Black Lagoon. Because no, not only is that a gender swap, it's actually a woman. Sorry.
Yeah, that was a really good. Yeah, Zara's ones were great because she was also messing with old school like movie tropes as well.
Yeah, cause you're not really swapping on that. Are you just giving? You're just having the woman who's sort of famously in a bikini laying on the boat and suddenly gets attacked by a monster. She's sort of attacking, like kidnapping him, isn't she?
Yeah, I know. That was totally all her as well. Like, she came up, not just with swapping the roles, but also, like, yeah, that it was.
And that's something that we wouldn't have thought of.
Definitely.
She brought to the collection.
Because everyone's does stand out in a quite unique way. And his were brilliant. I'm trying to push her to do more of those. I think she will.
Yeah, definitely.
And the attack of the 50-foot man. I love the fact that you've turned it into a man, but you've still got him in that sort of same bum-out position.
Oh, you got him, man.
That's a popular one.
It is. That got some eyebrows, in a good way.
Yeah.
And we were selling it at the Cardiff Independent Expo.
I've not actually seen that film. What is there any relevance to it being... a lady? Does it make any difference?
I think she's a sort of lady in scant underwear climbing over the top of buildings and stuff, I suppose, is sort of part of it, isn't it? I don't know. Different times, different times, Dan.
Yeah. Love those dark ladies.
Very particular.
Yeah. I've got a feeling Daryl Hannah remade it. Wasn't Daryl Hannah in a remake of it or something?
She might have been, you know.
I think so. She lives with Neil Young now, so she's made up for it. It's fine.
Does she really?
Yeah, they're a couple now, aren't they?
She was in Kill Bill 1 and 2. She was a good character.
Cool. I like that. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah.
That'd be an interesting gender swap.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. The Crazy Eights, they'd be brilliant.
So, obviously, Lost Light.
Yes.
This was in the... How long was this in the pipeline before, obviously, Swap came along? Is this something you've always had your eyes on to?
Well... Swap was, God, how long were we making Swap for? Because there was three illustrations each. And then, but it was everyone, like we've noticed as a collective, everyone's got different schedules, everyone's got different stuff going on, and everyone works at different paces. Examples with Swap, you, Claire and Zara finished, the next day, quickly. But me, Jess, and Gemma we took a lot longer. So Claire,
I finished my contribution to Swap fairly quickly because I knew that Lost Light was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of it has been in my head for quite a long time. But I think maybe I'll have to think back on the dates because I think maybe Swap and Lost Light started at more or less the same time.
Interesting.
Because Swap might have been a motivator, I feel like. Terrible memory for these things, but I think the idea of working together was like, oh, hey,
I
can do this at the same time.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, and it clearly Lost Light took you a while because it's not a short book either, is it? You know.
No. I think it was... I started actual production of it in the Easter holidays.
Right.
And then finished up, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago?
Are you talking about Easter
holidays? This year?
This year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking hell.
pardon me.
Sorry, Claire's mum.
I work at a college, so I get nice holidays.
Still, you've done well.
All summer. I didn't go outside. Yeah. So.
This isn't a book that's, only has, it's got... It's speechless.
Six panels a page.
Yeah. There's no dialogue.
It's a lot of work.
You don't have any pages that are wasted on one sentence in the middle of a page. It's all visual. Everything's there. Tells a story narratively, and it's colourful to say the least.
Yeah.
So you've done well.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, Claire. We looked at this and we were chatting about it, and it's outstanding stuff, mate. I've got to tell you, I really liked it. Really.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
I've only seen it today, and I was just like, oh, Claire. Yeah, I was
obviously. I've never done anything like this before, apart from storyboarding for animation. Okay. So
first comic, this is pretty good.
It was one of those cases
really
of,
yeah.
I just wanted to do something. I was thinking that I could think about this and think about this and never do it. I need to do it.
Yeah. That's did you want to just talk, just for people who haven't seen it and... We'll hopefully go and buy it. What is it about? Just give us a little outline.
So the basic idea was about light pollution.
Okay.
So it's about a young girl who lives in the forest, but she's terrified of the forest. And she lights up her house at night to keep all the animals away. But then through a series of events, she has to go into the forest and then she finds out that the night isn't quite so scary.
Okay, that to be fair is a slightly oversimplification of it because it's there's an awful lot to it. It's, I love the sort of the animals the way you just drew a fox just sitting on the rooftop, just gorgeous stuff, brilliant. Yeah. So what was your sort of influence for that? Were you a fan of a certain sort of is there a manga influence or is there fairy tale influence? Where did that come from?
It's hard to pinpoint. I think there's definitely some sort of manga influence there, probably, if I think into it.
Yeah.
It was
story-wise, though, like
story-wise, it was from, I spent some time in Namibia, and being out there, like, in the middle of nowhere, being able to see that sky every night probably where it started, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, there's something spectacular about a clear night sky, isn't there?
Yeah, there really is, yeah.
You can see your showers, the Milky Way, it was just incredible. And the fact that you come back here, living in the middle of the city, and you just don't get that.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Was it always the plan for the book to be silent?
I think so. I was going to do sound effects in it, but then never got around to it, and then just didn't feel like it really...
I don't think it needs it.
No, it doesn't need it.
Fit it. But coming from storyboards and animation...
You don't have those anyway.
Yeah, I don't really...
That's probably the animation influence, to be honest. Yeah.
And we always taught with animation, if you can tell a story without words, then...
Done. It's like, good job.
No panel is wasted, is it? Every panel is a storytelling opportunity, isn't it, on this book?
And a lot of the time, particularly with Lost Light, where having completed it now, I can see different sort of morals and aspects of it that I didn't think of while I was doing it.
Okay, such as?
More. So the girl being frightened of everything and her personal development wasn't something that was key when I was coming up with the story.
Right.
It's something that I can see, having shown it to some younger people with social anxiety issues.
Yeah.
I can see
sort of
what
contextualized
they get.
It, is it amongst people that you're going to sell it to? Do you think is there a help aspect to it? You know, is it helping?
Yeah. I definitely think so now, but that's not where it started, and that's not something that I had the intention of at the beginning. It was very much light pollution only to start with.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah,
and that's great storytelling, isn't it? When there's all these different meanings that come about. I mean, how many classic stories have we read, or classic films, where the filmmaker just saw it as it's just a story about this, but so many other people read and interpret different meanings into things, you know? I mean, this story, essentially, when you boil it down, you can sort of say there's no need to be afraid, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, the sky is beautiful, because it bloody well is in this book.
Yeah. And I think when you boil down to it, you know, it's, if you are doing something and you've done the right thing there, because you've realised what it's about, and you can direct it to people as a helping hand for people who do suffer from this sort of anxiety issues and stuff like that. Yeah. And it's only a good thing, isn't it? It's what people should be doing, you know. I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, I often worry about this. There's a lot of issue-driven comics, and I think there's not enough that lend a helping hand, I think, at the moment, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the hard part, though. It's like addressing the issue. A lot of people can do that, but it's the finding the solution.
Yeah, I agree.
And very unique for every person as well.
Yeah. But and not necessarily a complete solution, because we'll never solve everything, will we? But there's... I think I see what you're saying. There's certainly a help that can be given, you know, or just sounding like someone's listening to you almost.
Knowing that someone has been there.
Yeah, definitely.
Stands. I think that in itself is a comfort.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what you found from people reading it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely, I just need to get into the right hands now, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there'll be plenty of them at Thought Bubble. I think the book is more than strong enough.
The first ever Thought Bubble. Like, she hasn't even gone just to walk
Cardiff,
around.
Cardiff was my first convention selling at.
Luckily, that was that was a good one too. Yeah. So, but Thought Bubble's going to be a beast.
If people aren't drawn in by that cover, there's something wrong with it, to be fair.
Actually, I owe you guys a thanks for that, because I listened to your episode about covers as I was thinking about designing the cover,
which I linked to you.
Well, thanks everyone.
Yay.
It was definitely helpful, like standing back and making sure it was bold and that it worked in a square and everything.
Definitely
I'm really proud of that cover.
It's a cover design as well that will work beyond the convention table. It will work on shelves. It will work online.
There's a bookshop element to it as well, I think.
Another thing about the book is it's all about light pollution. That was obviously the original inspiration. I've never read a book about that before, having that as the conceit.
Yeah, neither.
Just that
I can't think of one. No.
I think it's quite a new issue, though, in the fact of trying to get it more publicly known.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. Because I went to TechniQuest like this year, and they mentioned it there. Like they were trying to really push it.
Is it a new sort of science that we're aware of?
I'm not sure. No, well, light pollution's probably always been there. It's probably more, you know, because environmental issues are a lot more.
Or are we only just noticing the environmental issues?
I think we're just noticing.
Yeah.
Like I watched a heart wrenching. David Attenborough.
With the baby turtle.
With the baby turtle. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, the baby turtles.
I mentioned that at the end.
Oh, the baby turtles. This is fact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. There's all sorts of aspects. If you even just think of moths that are flying at your window at night, they're not doing the pollinating that they're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And also, they're terrifying. Oh.
Well, yeah. They are. Yeah. I don't dispute that. They are awful creatures, but they should be out there doing their job. Yeah. Not coming into my house.
Yeah, we're just confusing. It's not their fault. They're just doing what their brains are wired to do. We're just we're confusing the fuzzle out of them.
But if you think about all the bees are dying, but and the moths aren't doing
their
jobs.
We're not going down this road, are we?
Well, we can if we leave our kitchen light on out the back. We get bats coming in and getting the moths.
Really,
that's good to see. Yeah.
No. I'm glad that you've learned something.
Yeah.
What, so the moths come in and then the bats come in to eat the moths?
Yeah, the moths are drawn to the light and then you see the bats kind of like swooping in and taking them out.
Oh, what comes in to eat the bats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you live in a cave?
Yeah.
Does back onto the estate. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the butcher estate. Yeah.
The Dan butcher
to the butcher
estate.
Cave.
The butcher cave.
Just a shed down the bottom of the garden.
Getting a little bit back to the collective issue, if you don't mind. Yes. Now, when you sat down and sort of decided, you know, so we've had that love connection happen and you've all decided to be part of a collection, collective. Well, did you have to set down any rules? Did you say,
nope.
Look, we don't want to fall out. So let's do this. No?
No contract, nothing.
Nope. Just
bonds of that popping us together.
When it falls, it's going to fall hard.
I don't see that.
It's awful. No, I think we're a bit loosey-goosey, to be honest.
If people have to end up going away from the collective, then, you know.
Yeah. I think we try really hard, because we've known each other for years, which I think really helps.
Yeah, definitely.
And we know what we like. We know
we've all got a similar work ethic, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think the fact
if
that
we've all got the same work ethic, you'll have a comic out every month from the sound of things.
Oh, well, okay, not quite. Claire. Claire's a machine.
Really, you're a robot. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's if someone is a bit like, oh, bugger, my work hours are crazy, I can't quite do this, usually we will help each other out a bit on, it's a bit, it's a give and take, isn't it? If someone needs a bit of a helping hand, it's not always completely equally right, everyone does exactly the same amount of work. It's just everyone does what they can.
We're very flexible.
Definitely. Yeah. Which you got to be, because this isn't our job. This is just meant to be a fun thing that we do. And we do, it's so rewarding when it's done.
Yeah.
And when we put it together. And, when Swap arrived, to be fair, I'm the only one. I know, have you seen it? Swap? You've seen Swap.
I was there when
we were selling it
together.
Yep, that's it.
Glad you remember.
Me and Claire and Jem. Jess hasn't seen it yet, I think. Oh, no, she has seen it.
Everyone's seen it.
This is a new just cut this. Cut this out.
More wine.
I think because part of the collective idea is that we work in different groups within the collective in the future on possible projects.
That was going to be my next question. So you're going to start working on comics. One of you will write it. One of you will ink it or colour it. You know, that sort of thing. Is that the plan?
Yeah, because I'm not the best at story, but Claire is. Claire knows her shit.
I've got a lot of stories.
Sorry, Claire's mum.
Claire's mum knows. She knows her shit.
She stopped listening by now.
Oh, she's like, oh, no. So yeah, like we're thinking we might do a little, because we both really like the fantasy aspect of storytelling as well. Yeah. So okay. No promises yet, but we'll probably do a little.
We're gonna
together.
Sort of think about stuff next year. I think.
We will definitely have to think about who does what though, because that's like a whole thing we're gonna have to think about. Because I know different people do it different ways. Some people just do the writing, some people just do the drawing, some people do different pages, some people do, we haven't discussed any of that, but I think me and Claire are probably going to do a comic.
Yeah.
I think that is going to happen, but we have no idea what it is yet. Not yet. We're gonna get Swap and Lost Light.
And Doggo.
Doggo. I'm sorry, Claire's mum. Once Doggo. Once the doggo's done, oh, what have I signed myself up for?
Let's talk about that for a second. What exactly is this? A lot of people will be very intrigued by this and very happy that it's going to exist. So tell us a bit about it.
Good old charity doggo zine. So after we finished Swap...
you moved straight on, didn't you?
I was having the itch. I was my evenings are blank, not filled with stress. Let's make it extra stressful and add loads more people.
This is another example of how you are such a producer.
I hate it.
You are producing this
it.
With loads of guest
I
artists.
I don't
You're
want
being
it.
A producer.
Like, send it away. Oh, God. Anyway. So, an idea popped in my head. I think I do blame my workplace because we are obsessed with dogs. Like, whenever I was having a bit of a hard day, you send a dog photo and we're all happy as Larry. Like, it's amazing. The power of dogs is amazing.
Dogs are great. I've never had a dog.
I'm so disappointed. I've never had a dog.
Disappointed at your parents for not letting you have a dog.
Yeah, it's all your fault, Dad. But I love dogs. Like, they're just filled with happiness and little mischievous, fluffy creatures of joy. A lot of zines I was seeing by chance on the internet were charity zines. And I was like, oh, that'd be really great to put all this, all this time and effort towards a charity. I've never done anything like that before. Like, I've done a 5K marathon and stuff like that. But I've never done anything art related to charity.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, that'd be a really cool idea. And it'd be cool to have, I just knew loads of people that would love to do it. So I put an ad out there, and I maybe should have just had a limit. Like, I didn't think that many people would say yes.
There was a big response. It was great.
It was amazing. I planned...
And you can't say no. This is the problem.
I planned 40 artists. I got 60.
God. So what is this going to be? Is this just going to be like 40 pages of artwork? What is the... Is it...
So the basic premise is just... It's the sort of same thing as Swap, where in the sense it's just full of art. It's 60 artists that I've gotten together. Amazing. So I have to manage all of them, which is... I don't know why I've done this to myself. I've gone from managing four artists to 60.
So what's the theme? Is it just dogs, or have you got
just
a theme?
Dogs.
Are they detectives, or are they something
I've kept it super broad. So each artist gets a page, and they can just do whatever they want.
As long as it's child-friendly.
As long as it's PG-13 happy.
That is something you need to let the internet know.
Yeah, it's a sad day, but we do need to tell people these books
have
dogs.
Yeah, well,
I have dogs in it. Yeah, I know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because we were getting some applicants, and I was like, I need to tell this person that there's some art I won't be able to supply.
You were getting some risky artwork, is that what you're saying?
Not risky, no, not that what they were applying, but you click on their website and you're like,
please God, don't do this. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So on the little like guidelines, I was like, PG-13, thank you, yes please, bye, love dogs, yay. But yeah, we got some great artists on it. To name a small few, we have I'll tell you what, we got Mark Penman.
Oh, good. Oh, cool.
He's
on
it, and he was on your show last week, I think.
He was.
He's on it. So Gemma, I think, asked him at one of the MCMs she was at. We've got Beverly Johnson. She's a really awesome artist that we know through Instagram.
Okay.
Yes, are obsessed with her. She did some concept art for like this dating simulator game called Dream Daddy. I don't know if you've heard of that.
I came across that today.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We're going to have to talk to you again, aren't we, Dan?
We got Carl Muntford. He does loads of book covers and illustration. He's like amazing. So we got him and Jenny Clements. She's another one. She'll be a thought bubble.
Okay.
So she's another awesome. She's like a indie. She does her own comic book series. And we also got Michael Doig and India Swift, who are also a thought bubble.
Brilliant.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
And Luke Hyde, who is also we got loads of thought bubble people.
Who's our mutual friend, Brian? Is it Lara? Isn't it?
Lara. Yes.
Is she doing something or?
No. She's too busy, so it's fine. I did not. No, she's super swamped with work, so that's
fine. Okay. She's a great artist.
She's amazing, and she can draw dogs, which is very infuriating.
She doesn't like dogs.
No, she loves dogs, and she can draw them really well. And I'm like, Laura, please. And she's like, I'm so busy. And I'm like, if I understand. Because I was asking a load of, like, really, really well-known internet artists, like ones from America, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And my my Twitter messages just looked like a bloody single guy's Tinder page, man. It was just hi, just no reply.
Hang on, what's Tinder?
Hey.
Hey.
So it was really interesting because I was asking just loads of people, and then I just kind of. One animator, she's my boss, basically, Joanna Quinn. She's a really well-known animator.
Right, okay.
She said yes, and then I was like...
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Bears.
Yeah. She did the Charmin bears.
The toilet paper bears.
Remember those Charmin adverts?
Yes, I remember them. Yeah. There's like a baby running around or something, is that right?
No, bears. The bear.
Is that a bear, is it? Oh,
the
okay.
Big bear.
It was
yeah,
I remember that. Oh, I know, yeah. Sorry, I do know.
Yeah, like, her company, like, did all those. Like, it's really, like, nice, soft pencil drawings. So she's really good at drawing dogs, too. She's always got a dog in one of her films. She, like, was like, oh, I'll draw a dog. And then I was like, oh, my God, I got Joanna Quinn on the scene. Oh, my God. Okay, let's see if we can get some other people. And
there's a lot of animators, aren't there?
It's very... Yeah, that's the thing. I was trying, like, oh, I should really maybe go for more comic people and illustrators, but I just don't know any.
That's
There are definitely some, but there's a lot of animators, which I think might be quite refreshing because there are some animators that are bloody amazing illustrators.
Well, it just sort of shows where the lines blend, I think.
Because I've left it really open. People can either do a sketch or a full-blown illustration or a comic book strip. They got a page, they can do whatever they want.
That'd be good. So it's not just a single image. It can be a little strip of it or a story or,
I've left artists literally do whatever they want, and there is a huge variety of styles. Like, two of the artists are CG people, and I think one of them's going to do like a CG model of a dog. So it's going to be a big variety.
What's the charity, Brian? So did I miss that? Is it the Dogs Trust or something? Is it or
Dogs Trust? Yeah.
That's where my dog comes from. The Dogs Trust.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What a nice people.
Brilliant. Because I'm just sort of hoping I can just sell the stock we've got and just chuck the profits at them in like a, because there's a button you can click with donation. But yeah. I tried the whole route with because I'm not a very well-known artist and wine is even so new. I tried to do it through, could we like have your logo on the brand?
Yeah, okay.
So I was contacting a few dog companies, but I wanted them to be quite, not like a really local Cardiff one. I wanted them a bit more UK and sort of, everyone will know, that one, yeah. So I tried Guide Dogs and Dogs Trust to have... Yeah. To have their logo on the book so people know, definitely like, oh, this is where my money's going. But it's not going to happen because there's a lot of implications apparently with tax and they've got to do a slave labor investigation. So.
Oh no.
But, yeah. So like, guys.
Even in Wales?
Yeah. I'm white. like the Mexico of the film industry, man.
Yeah. You are. You really are. All films, they go there to make it cheaply, don't they?
Yeah. Well, we got casualty from you, Bristol, didn't we? So,
I think I'm all right with that.
I got this huge... Dogs Trucks were basically like, oh yeah, like we're happy to have our logo on your product, but can we see it first? And I was like, it's not made yet, so yeah. No. And then Guide Dog sent me this huge voice message, and they were like, oh yeah, you can, but, and then they just listed all this stuff you got to do. I got to fill in like multiple forms. This is a really boring conversation. So basically, I noticed a lot of charity zines when I looked into it. They didn't. You know, they said where the money was gonna go, but they didn't have the logo on it.
Okay.
It is obviously just
as
a trademark.
As the money goes there.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. I promise you.
We promise. Well, weirdly, Dogs Trust, MCM support the Dogs Trust quite heavily, don't they? They give them a free stall at all their London events. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a good thing I chose Dogs Trust then.
Yeah. You got the crowd that goes to MCM, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, you might appeal to the furries.
Yeah.
There might be a few of those. I can't say no.
Don't turn down a sale, Bryony. We know that for a fact.
It's my fault they're really good at drawing dogs.
It'll broaden your audience.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know how much money half of those furries have? Like,
I know.
Bloody
I know.
Hell.
They're not cheap, those costumes.
But the charge with it.
I'm sure the dogs will be too.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they'll be happy doggos. So,
what other projects have you got planned? I know for the members who aren't on here, have they got anything you'd like to plug or what's going on?
I think they're all pretty busy with their own animation-y work, aren't they?
Right, okay.
Yeah, Jess...
Can you think of anything? Oh, Jess has got her sketchbook.
Yeah, Stardust, that is...
Stardust.
Oh, bugger. We should know the products.
But it's a sketchbook and it's lovely.
Yeah. Like Jess's stuff is stunning.
She's got really, really good
art. And that's going to be a thought bubble as well, is it? Or...
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
Does one of you have the job to like, right, you go off and book the convention and it's all like, Bryony, why haven't you booked this convention yet? And you're like, oh, I forgot, and that sort of thing.
That's Gemma's job, man. And she does.
Gemma's very well organized.
She's great. Yeah. Like, oh, man, she's so good. She just gets it done. She does all the Excel sheets, which I always.
Oh,
like,
God.
Weird one, it lasts 6 months.
I hate that. And then she's like, oh, here's this Excel sheet. You pull the profit and it automatically calculates everything. And I'm like, I love you.
This is why we're so well organized.
This is. Everyone has a different scale.
I'm mooching off Gemma.
It's definitely. Zara's providing all the badges. There will be many wine and zine badges of all different colors.
Yeah.
That will be welcome to grab on
they're
our table.
They're free, aren't they?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll say they're free.
They're free now.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
But there's a limited number of them, right?
There are not many.
There's not many.
First come, first serve.
Okay.
And
we're
going to be wearing one as well, so that's five out.
Are you all going to be at Thought Bubble then?
Yeah. Mm. It's a really, really rare. Cool.
Full table.
It's going to be very full table.
Yeah, but I don't think all of us are going to be at the table at the same time.
Are we not?
We're going to be like sardines, Claire.
What's going to happen with the others?
We go off
in the bar.
Or you could get some like wine and zine flyers printed up, and then someone could walk around just.
Dude, we have got wine and zine flyers.
Oh, there you go. You can ruthlessly fly a flyer campaign.
Well, we got a Doggo charity zine just because we wanted to get... Because it's not out yet, it's being made, but we wanted to just to get people to be aware of it before it comes out. And then it's also got a list of all the artists that are currently at Thought Bubble. So it's a bit of like, oh, here's this cool zine that's going to come out for dogs. Also, here's all the people that are working on it.
Yeah,
you can go see the table. Yay! So... got all those printed off.
So it's kind of party central, really, your table. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be at Thought Bubble? Because obviously it's a whole new layout this year,
isn't it? Yes, yeah, so they've moved venue this year.
I think we're in the Victoria Hall, but let us check. Damn, that is something we should have checked. I'm pretty sure we're in Victoria Hall, but...
Vince, we've got to have these people back. This is already my favourite set of guests.
Really?
Five of us on.
Oh, man, that'd be chaos, but yeah.
Such chaos.
I mean, if just two of them are arguing, Can you imagine what it's going to be like, level 5?
Yeah. This will be over by Christmas. This will be some kind of death match by Christmas. By the end of Thought Bubble weekend, there'll be a few black plates or something. Yeah.
Oh, dear. Never mind McGregor Mayweather. That's the next big one. Have any of you done Thought Bubble before?
Right, so me, Jess and Jem have been before, and then the year after we were like, let's get a table here. So we did, because we were all working on Ethel and Ernest together. So that sort of just happened because we were all in the same vicinity, aka Jess's house. And basically now, the year after, we were like, Wine and Zine has happened. We're like, let's all get a table.
Did we book Thought Bubble before we had Swap? Or before we thought of Swap? I feel like we booked Thought Bubble very early on.
Well, before you had anything.
I feel like that's... Bri's looking at me like she's not sure. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that sounds like us.
Yeah.
So yeah, we booked it, and this is the first time Claire and Zara have ever been to Thought Bubble. Like, you haven't even been there just to look around.
No, I'm diving in the deep end,
which is fine because it's new anyway, so it'll be new for all of us.
Mm. Yeah, it'll be good.
Yeah,
and then you and me are doing Bristol Comic and Zine Fair, aren't we?
Well, our stuff is at the communal table, but we will be there to say hi,
which means we'll be running around.
Yeah,
by making a nuisance of ourselves everywhere.
So how does that one work? Because you said communal table, so do you just have some of your books on a table and then you wander around getting drunk?
I guess we didn't get in, as in we didn't get our own table.
I quite like the idea of the communal table, though.
The communal table is, like, great. I can walk around and look at other people's stuff without... Yeah. We got an email, and apparently what they do is they set up a table. I'm not sure how big it is, but
it'll have loads of comics on it.
It'll just be like the Argos of zines.
Don't say that.
What's a fancier Argos?
What's a fancier? There's no fancier Argos. IKEA? No.
Oh, what? Is it better?
It's the IKEA of comics.
Okay, we'll stick with that. The IKEA of comics. So rather than you have a table and you sell your own stuff, you can only give in comics and zines, and you pay...
It's a very small percentage of what
you earn. They take a very small percentage of your sales, and you can only give four...
Of each.
Four of each. So we gave Swap, Lost Light... and the comic that me, Jess and Gemma have done called Our Story So Far. So we gave in those. So we have to deliver them on the day, and then you can just buy them there. And then if they sell, we get the profits at the end of the day, I guess. We've never come across that before. When I got the email, I was a bit like...
Yeah, it used to happen. You used to see it at conventions before.
Oh,
right. I know they used to do it when table space was limited at Bristol in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s. They used to do that, yeah. I think it's a great idea. I think it's good for people who can't get a table, you know.
I'm really excited. I'd rather definitely this than nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We were really lucky to, as unestablished as we are.
Yeah, yeah. We were super like, oh, cool, we got in. Because I know the Bristol Wines.
Bristol Wines.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's a future convention for future years. Yeah.
So that's the wine talking about it. the Bristol Zine Fest is quite established.
It's hard to get into, isn't it? I think now, really hard.
So yeah, I was quite like, oh, cool. Yeah. This is nice.
We'll be wandering around with our badges on.
Yeah. So, oh god. So that'd be good.
You should get t-shirts done.
Get some white t-shirts done that look like you've just spilt red wine on them. There you go. There's an idea.
Oh no, we're not. Yeah, no, maybe. No,
we'll talk about this afterwards.
Have a Skype special. Stink. What?
Stink of wine. They won't let us in.
We don't have to put actual wine. It could be.
What's the point?
Yeah, true. we've just discovered we are definitely at Thought Bubble. We are in Victoria Hall, tables 20, 42 and 43.
Two tables for five people.
No, six.
What?
Six. Six.
Oh, yeah, six.
Gemma's sister. who is not part of Wine and Zine, but she's...
Oh, I know Gemma's sister.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Eleanor.
Oh, yeah, Eleanor, yeah.
That's it, that's the one.
I don't... Brian.
Remember what Vince said.
Remember what I said before we started recording.
There was a chance you could, because she was at Thought Bubble that year, so...
Oh, okay, right, sorry.
She's a
human
being in the world.
She is, yeah. She's yeah.
Spoiling Tony's fun there. Sorry, yeah. Tony.
Sorry. Eleanor, the Elsmeister. Cinderella. No,
yeah.
So, with Thought Bubble just around the corner, the big question is, are you prepared?
Yeah.
I officially am now. I ordered my last A4 prints yesterday.
Oh, you're well ahead of the game. They'll be here soon, won't they? It won't take long.
Well, I went for the free deliveries, so...
So
takes a bit. Well, I've had them sent over to Chester because I'm going to Chester before I go to Leeds to stay over at Gem and Zara's. So it'd be fine. If it's not, oh well.
So is Thought Bubble Friday, Saturday, Sunday this year? Is it? I can't remember.
Oh, they're nothing.
But we're just doing Saturday and Sunday if it is.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to be there Friday. Me, Gem and Zara. Cat Cafe in Manchester the day before, so that's not going to happen.
You're at the Cat Cafe?
Yeah, there's one in Manchester. We're just going to check it out. Apparently it's a good time.
Awesome.
They're everywhere these days, aren't they, Cat Cafes?
It's the best interview we've ever done.
Yeah.
Claire is such an allergy for cats.
Yeah.
Oh. That's
like
the
worst idea. Oh, dear. So one of you could have like a really swollen...
Face.
So if that happens...
That's the best interview question we've ever done. Yeah. So one of you could have a swollen face.
Jen, I'm excited.
But if that happens, that's just another thing that might bring people to your table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swollen face. It'd be hard to miss.
Yeah, come see Claire's swollen face.
And bring antihistamines.
Rubbing cats all over me. Gotta keep it up.
Yeah, have you got antihistamines? Why not buy a comic?
I'll trade you a comic for some antihistamines. Please help me.
Sorted.
Oh dear, that's a fair enough swap.
Yeah, I'm not going to that cat cafe.
No, that's fine. No worries.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll have plenty of stories after Thought Bubble, anyway, without that sort of disaster.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We're also, me and Claire are also doing True Believers in February.
Yay, oh, awesome. One. We'll be there. And hopefully we'll be launching the first issue of our anthology at Thought
Bubble.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's going to be an enjoyable day, isn't it, Tony?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We did have a laugh last year because that was the same day I was just a mess because I got off a plane and I was sort of snoring and stuff.
You went a bit delirious, didn't you?
I went a bit weird. Yeah. It was a good laugh. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. It's quite jet lagged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dan, are you going to be with us this year? Next year?
Where's this again? Yeah. I'd if we're doing the launch of the thing, yeah, God, yeah, I want to be there.
Yeah. We've got the VIP suite.
You can stay at my house.
Hey, nice one.
I've got a sleeping bag.
Why can't I stay at your house? You always turn me down.
You know why. You know why.
We're not saying on air why it is.
This is why you guys are not a collective. That was a risky thing to say.
Oh, dear. But, we heartily recommend that if you see Wine and Zine... at any of the shows, go and say hello. Because
I'm going to call it Wine and Zine. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Wine and Zine.
Well, I call it Waz quite a lot.
Oh,
Waz.
Yeah. And Brian
but yes. I love it.
Because it means me.
It means it could mean a lot of things.
That's the worst argument ever.
It is a lot easier to type. Like when we're talking
it's so
about.
So much easier.
Just Waz, it's so much easier.
We all know what we mean. We all know what we mean.
We can't call it Waz for someone who doesn't. It means pee.
What are you looking forward to at Thought Bubble? Waz.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come see Waz.
I'm going to see Waz, yeah.
Nintendo got away with it, so for years... Yeah,
the only way is up, you could say.
No, that's Waz. That's Yaz.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, a bit of 80s pop knowledge there. I feel really, really old. Oh, dear. But, yes, the collective of Wine and Zine are going to be here for the rest of the show, and they've got a couple of recommendations. Actually, they threatened a list, so we... so, yeah. But before that, have we got any shout-outs?
I've got a couple.
Go on, then.
Shall I go?
Yeah, go for it.
The first up is me and the Guns will be at a signing, Pat Mills talk and signing at the 29th September between 5 and 7 at Orbital Comics. We're looking forward to that, aren't we, Dan?
That's going to be brilliant. Yeah,
Pat's always great. Come along. Jason Atomic, who, if you listen back to our, was it our 2000 AD special?
Or it was.
We interviewed him, and he's a top bloke, Jason. He does a lot of the sort of life drawing classes and stuff like that. Really big 2000 AD fan, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's got to ask Pat on that. And the other one is the next event that we're tabling at is Nottingham Comic Convention on the 14th of October. If you go to nottinghamcomiccon.co.uk, you can find all the details. I've got some great guests. Lambo's going to be there. Jay Gunn, Roger Langridge. Actually, Lambo showed me a page from his X-Men comic last night. Fucking hell, it's good. Wait till you see it. Very good. Sarah Grayley, Kevin F. Sutherland, and Rachel Ball, who's also an ex-guest of ours. And we've also got a Kickstarter going for that. They're putting out a charity comic.
Yeah.
So go and look for it. Nottingham Comic Con. If you go to their site, it'll redirect to the Kickstarter. I think they've only got a couple of days left now, and they have made their amount.
Yeah. But we looks could awesome. Do awesome. The book looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. And I've done something with them. The mighty Kev, who's, as I said last week, has much improved my terrible script with some brilliant artwork. So, yeah, really good. I've had some real fun working on stuff for their anthologies this year and last year. Good stuff. Yeah, there you go. That's my two.
Awesome. Dan, do you have a shout-out?
I have no shout-outs, no.
I think I'll just give a small shout-out to Sarah Harris, who is currently on holiday.
Oh, yes,
moment.
I've seen those pictures, yeah.
But I keep seeing pictures of her. She's at Rose City Comic Con, isn't she?
Yeah, where's that, Portland, is it?
Yeah, it's around the Portland area. And I've never been so jealous in all my life.
Yeah. I know. It just makes me wish New York was happening sooner than, you know, it is.
Yeah.
And she's got selfies with everyone in the comic industry, I think.
Yeah.
And she also got, from Steve Lieber, one of my favourite artists at the moment,
oh, yes,
an amazing commission of two dogs, which, Brian, you appreciate this. which is Pretzels from my favourite book, The Fix. And Inspector, who's... Is that from Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
Oh, it could be.
I think it is. Yeah, it's two right. Steve Lieber books, but it looks amazing.
Yeah.
So, I'm thoroughly jealous. That's all I've got to say. It's not so much a shout-out, just me moaning.
Yeah. Go to... If you're friends with Sarah, as we all are, go and have a look at some of the pictures she's posting. Some brilliant stuff. It looks like such a good comic convention, that.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. One day we'll make it there. No, no,
one day maybe.
No,
yeah,
we'll just busk or.
We're gonna have a table there. That'd be right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we'll have a table at every convention in the world.
Yeah, probably won't. No, we won't.
We'll probably be banned from every convention in the world.
Yeah, I've never been banned from a convention. I'd like to add that, although people think I have been.
Hardcore.
What's
that? No, we're just saying like maybe we could do that one day.
Get banned. I'd rather sell stuff though, if that's all right.
Yeah. Well, get banned. Will you have? There are a few creators we know who have a bottle of wine under the table. Will that be something you'll be doing?
Yes.
I suppose so.
Yes. It'll be empty, but.
but surely, with the name of your collective, you've got to have a bottle of wine, like even if it's empty, somewhere on the table.
Well, we'll have an empty one by the end of this.
I feel like we're going to save all that for the mini party that happens on the Saturday.
Yeah, we'll perform well at the party.
I'm very excited about.
Oh.
So excited. Because there's food and booze and dance all in the same roof. It's great.
Okay.
I'm very excited about that party.
Yeah. That'll be another party we haven't been invited to, guys.
No, we're never the thoughtable one. The mini one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We don't need that. We are the party.
Of course.
If the party involves putting our feet up and having hot chocolate, we are definitely the party.
I'll tell you what, that was lovely hot chocolate, Tony, and it was just what I needed.
That was the best part of the weekend.
Yeah. Anyway, more comics. Have we got recommendations this week? Of course,
yes,
we have.
Yeah.
We have them every week. But should we start?
Yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Should we let the guests go first?
Yeah.
I think that's nice.
All right, then. Yeah. Bryony or Claire, who wants to go first?
Claire will go first.
Claire will go first.
I'm going to promote Joe Latham's Digby is a Wizard, which is just, well, it's been kickstarted. It was kickstarted within like the first 24 hours, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's going towards, hopefully, stretch goals. That would be nice.
Hmm.
But it's really, really gorgeous. He's been posting a panel on Instagram like so much. Like, constantly.
Yeah, really good. He's at the Lakes as well after Thought Bubble.
He is.
Okay.
So definitely give that a look.
Mine is my buddy Luke Hyde, who has done...
Is that how you have to say?
That's Luke Hyde. That's how you say his name. That's just the pronunciation. You can't.
Okay.
PoleQuest. PoleQuest. He did like a poll every week, I think, on Twitter of his little character called Bacon, who's a dog.
He's a dog.
He's a little scrappy sword wielding dog. Who goes on his little adventures. And basically what he did every week was he gave his followers a choice, like what...
It's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, okay. Like a little D&D-inspired comic. And then he based on what the votes were, that's what happened. So the story is completely based off votes, which is crazy.
Right.
Yeah, cool. It's amazing. Like, definitely pick up PoleQuest. Like, one, Luke's style is adorable in, like, it's kind of adventure style-y,
kind of, but
yeah.
It's got its own twist.
Yeah, it's definitely...
It's very, very, very good.
Yeah, he's amazing. PoleQuest is definitely one, and he's got a few other comics that he's done as well, as well as one with Joe.
Yeah.
Which is called...
They are Bristol Boys, aren't they?
They're, is Joe Bristol?
Yeah.
Cool!
Yeah, Bristol Boys. And Luke's been doing 100 Slices of Bacon, which is 100 different original illustrations of the Bacon character.
Killing things.
Killing, like, but like pop things. So
you,
like,
you had me in the name, but and then when you say killing things, I'm sold. I'm just absolutely sold.
Definitely, yeah. Check
like,
this people out. He's amazing.
Like,
He-Man. Oh, yeah, He-Man's in it. I don't think he kills He-Man, though. I think he's just in the background going like, oh.
Anyway, it's really, really good.
Yeah. I've sold that. I do also have a super quick little one as well. Another one that I don't think is on the awesome podcast radar, I'm not sure. But it's another new debuting. Oh, God.
how much wine have you had? So far,
too much.
Let's give a little shout out to the bottle of wine you're drinking. What is the bottle?
Debuting and debuting are the same word.
This is just classic Bri, though, even when it's not.
That's the saddest thing.
Pretty standard.
It's not even wine related. So this is by Michael Doig and India Swift, and I think this is their first published comic called The Girl in the Glim. So they'll be at Thought Bubble and they're like Claire's. It's their first comic, and it's also I have no idea what the story is. I watch their streams a few times a week, so I can see what the art's going to look like and the colouring and the setup of the pages, and it looks amazing.
They look like veteran work.
It looks like they've done comic work for ages. India is like a really good animator. She is also. Oh, she's amazing. And Michael is a professional comic book artist, so he knows stuff. And combined...
He does colour, doesn't he?
So, his colour schemes are amazing. So combined, they've made this beautiful little comic baby, and I haven't even read it. I'm recommending it. I haven't even read it, but I'm that confident that it's going to do well that I'm recommending it right now.
Cool.
Oh, nice. We like that confidence.
So, yeah. If it doesn't, I'm... Sorry,
but I apologize to everyone.
Yeah. I'm very, very confident it's going to be a really good comic. I'm going to pick one up. I can't wait.
Awesome. That's cool. Stuff brilliant. For us to check out.
Yeah, stuff I hadn't heard about. There's loads of new stuff dropping at Thought Bubble, aren't there? Mm. Yeah, loads of new books.
Thought Bubble is the yearly sort of time that really everyone seems to debut something, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The debut list is massive this year.
Yeah.
We've looked through it. It's crazy.
So let's just give a massive shout out to all of those comics printers out there who have worked tirelessly over the past 2 months to try and get everyone's books ready for Thought Bubble.
Mm. Yeah.
Because without you guys, a lot of people would be, I'm not going to say the word.
In trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
Claire's
mum. She's got more mentions than anyone else this week, Claire's mum.
She's pretty. I'm definitely going to listen to her now.
They must be running those presses like bloody 24/7 in the run-up to...
They must be.
Yeah, because most comic printers as well, they're not like full-time comics printers. They're
double up.
They're doing menus and all kinds of print jobs, and comics is usually on the side, isn't it? Yeah, we'll raise a glass to you all.
Wait.
Our glasses are empty at this point.
Wait, we can still do it.
We have nothing in them.
Oh, God.
I thought it was a very satisfying sound.
Oh, well. You'll live.
Did you just break something?
No, it was meant to be a clink of our wine glasses. Didn't sound very good, though.
None left whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh, there is some left in the kitchen, which we'll get to afterwards.
Yeah. Everyone needs a drink after they've been on the show.
Yeah. To recover.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Back to comics. Who else has got any recommendations? Tony or Dan? Or...
I'll go. Go on, Dan. To be fair, I feel sorry for the printers, but I also feel slightly sorry for the reviewers, because as I sent you a list of all the comics I've got in the last week with the word help attached to it. So I apologise if I haven't got your comic yet, but currently it's looking at 26 separate comics that I've got, and I've done 4 this weekend. So I apologise if I don't get to them all. So please allow me. I'm going to do 2 shorter ones.
Tony, I'm just going to say this. You don't have to apologise. You're not getting paid. You're not getting paid for this.
Yeah, we're not doing. I'm doing it for free. To be fair, I'll get sent free comics. But there you go. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, yeah. First one I'm going to do is something that went up. I put a very sort of shorter review online today for it, and it's another book from Good Comics. I know we've had them on the show. We spoke to them at, was it Leamington Spa?
It was Leamington. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really nice guys. They're up and comers. Definitely. I know that Rich from Comic UK Printing touts them as. You know, some really interesting works coming out of them, and I make him right on that. And the first one, they sent me 3 to review, which I've reviewed this week. One of which was Sid by Olivia Sullivan, and New York, A Holiday to Remember from the wacky world of our pod favourite, Elizabeth Queerstritt. If you go to 2000 AD Beyond, I wrote it for them, actually, which is a great new review site for people looking to get their comics reviewed. But this one I'm going to talk about here is Stir Fry by Sarah Crosby. Has anyone come across Sarah before? Met her?
No.
A sort of humorous anthology. It's £4, black and white, 36 pages. A really surprisingly good stuff. If you looked at it and picked it up, you'd look at it and think, oh, this is a sort of UK indie satirical funny small press book, you know, sort of slightly indie, slightly towards the more sort of gosh comics crowd. But when you read it, you actually realise it's got more in common with maybe Creepy and Eerie and House of Secrets and stuff like that.
Oh,
those
awesome
sort of books. The stories are, they've got a real sense of humour to them, but they've also got that sort of twist in the tail horror sort of story. One of my favourites is there's a load of people on a train carriage, and there's a woman with a baby, and you can see everyone's really wound up by it. So they all summon the devil. And the devil appears to shut the baby up. And he's a bit embarrassed because he's forgot his trousers and he's got some quite tight and revealing pants on. And the devil's bum crack is quite near someone's face. And it sort of, it goes off on one from there. My other favourite, I think, is it's basically the story of a housefly flying around, and he falls in love with this sort of sweaty fat man lying in his back garden in the sun. And this fly is sort of he sort of quite likes quoting Shakespeare and stuff like that. And he sees this sort of fat bloke who's sort of all sweaty and horrible and hairy. And he says, "Never have I seen such exquisite beauty. His stench, such a pungent aroma. I feel a stirring between my wings. We will meet soon, my love." And he falls in sleep with the, falls in love with this sort of sleeping bloke. Really funny. There's a real sort of originality to it that you don't, I haven't really seen before. Just some great fun. If you go to Sarah Crosby or at sarahcrosbyillustration.co.uk, or she's at @di_kittypants. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. You can look at some work. And if you go to Good Comics, you can get some of their comics that have come out that I've just mentioned. goodshop.bigcartel.com or @good_comics on Twitter. Great stuff. And the other one I wanted to mention briefly, which I'm only halfway through reading, I posted a picture of the cover up on Twitter and it got, I think, more likes and retweets than I've had for a long time. And it's Gesh, I think it's pronounced, A Game Without Rules, which is the second book in the Gesh series by Alexis Deakin from No Brow. Absolutely, probably the most gorgeous book I've come across for a long time. 120
pages.
Is
that the one that you sent us that cover of, that this sort of hardback?
That's it, yeah.
God,
yeah,
ridiculously good looking.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It's 120 pages, full colour, $15.99. It's a fantasy story. I wish I'd got it for last week because I definitely have done it and reviewed it last week. It's kind of sort of magicians, a fairy tale sort of setting, but also crossed a little bit with pre-communist Russia. With like a lot of the costumes and the people wandering about look as if they're in Tsarist Russia, if that makes sense. Yeah. Got a real cool style to it. A lot of black magic. As I'm reading into it, the quest began in the second one, and this is more of a sort of politics of the people surviving from the quest, if that makes sense, to rule the land. I'll give it a deeper dive online. I'm probably looking forward to writing a bigger review of it because there's so many sort of little threads going throughout it. Really, really gorgeous stuff. And go to No Brow. I think it comes out next week. I was lucky enough to get a preview copy by Alexis Deakin. Look Alexis Deakin up. Great stuff. Really good. There you go. There are
awesome.
My two.
Awesome. Dan?
Nice. Yeah, it was a comic that was given to us at London Super Comic Con. It's Tract Man, issue one.
Oh, yes. By, it's the Bavarian comic, isn't it?
Yeah. Plem Productions, which I found out Plem is around the bend. It's kind of slightly off kilter. I kind of had to look up that translation because I was curious. So, a little wacky. I'll give you the blurb. Without any memories of his past, an unknown man with incredible powers crashes into a small suburb in Bavaria. He knew only one thing, that he has to protect the people with all of his might. With the help of his friend and helper Kurt, he watches over the good people of Bavaria from his airship in the sky, the Oktoberfestung, always ready to face off any danger or threat. Plem Plem Productions proudly presents The Adventures of Tract Man. And essentially, it is like a Tick-style superhero set in Bavaria. It's really wacky, a lot of fun, and yeah, if you like superheroes, it's like classic golden age superheroes with a touch of sort of Tick about it, and you can check it out. It's got a great variant cover by Neil Adams,
which really?
I was like, wow,
bloody hell.
Yeah.
Wow,
I was like, oh nice, it's really, there's a couple of different variants, and we was given the Neil Adams version.
Wow, that's good. Yeah,
Chris Kloiber, the Dennis Lehman does the cover colors. Jewel May Christopher is the flats. And there's a couple other people doing editorial, which I won't mention. I better mention now because I sound bad. Henry Matris, Martin Zen, David, and Laura Lung. And if you want to check out more about the comic, you can check out www.plemplemproductions.de.
Real. I remember he was the guy with the big sort of blue and white jacket on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember he was standing, talking about Sarah Harris again, he was standing next to Sarah Harris, who, if anyone knows Sarah, has bright blink hair. And I remember thinking, I think I've just burnt a hole in my retina by staring at them standing at each other.
Yeah.
I felt kind of bad that he'd made all the effort to come all the way over, and like the trade at LSCC was pretty slow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a shame. He was a super nice guy. With it. I always said hello and had a little chat with him as I walked past. Yeah, it seemed like a really nice bunch of people. Yeah.
So check the comic out. Definitely recommend.
Cool. Yeah, nice. My recommendation for this week is also another one tied into London Super Comic Con. One of my purchases there, which is Sub Diablo, number 3.
Yes.
King Crab Kebabs by Daryl Fort.
He is a crazy person.
Count Fortula has struck again, and oh my word, I love this book. It's great. Did you get it as well, Tony? Have you seen it yet?
I didn't know. I must get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
A digital copy of it. You sent me a digital copy of it, but
it's the third book in the Sub Diablo series after Origins and Great Titans, anyone who doesn't know, the Sub Diablo series is all about the crew of the titular submarine, which goes on all kinds of adventures. On the back of this book, it just says this: the Sub Diablo crew is back. Jillian has been kidnapped by the Titans and taken down to the depths. Now it's up to Scott and Mac to bring him back. But how will they get past the King Crabs? And can Chuck and B33P3R do anything to help? Which I think is spelled... It said beeper, but... This is the bit that made me laugh. Strap on your goggles, my golden nuggets, and let's dive into the next tale of the Sub Diablo crew. Golden nuggets. Now, anyone who's seen Daryl at a show or met him will know that he's got imagination for days. Not only that, it's just so passionate about
art. Very infectious, isn't he?
He also gave me one of my moments of LSEC when he looked at Dan Butcher starstruck. I think he started to think that Dan was actually invented.
It's a persona for the show.
Dan is a sex robot, we know that for a fact.
Of course he is. But the Sub Diablo series is it's just so full of imagination and different stories and stuff, and this one was great fun to read. What can you say about it? I mean, the story is fun, easy to follow. It's very much all ages as well. He doesn't throw in any naughty swear words or anything like that, which I normally have in my books that I recommend. But it's just the imagination on show, the character creation and the ship creation. I mean, the Sub Diablo, the actual ship, is basically a submarine, and the front of which looks like a skull with a beard, which is what all submarines should look like. I think we can agree. and there's big monster fights. There's giant king crabs with boxing gloves. Actually, they're huge claws that resemble boxing gloves. There's story points like someone eats some carrots so that they can see better in the dark, which I love.
I like the idea of going around Daryl's house, and he literally lives with all these people who are sort of like Muppet representations in his comic. That's what how I see his house.
Yeah.
That, which is like the most super cool thing ever in the world, you know? Yeah.
And people just doing things and then just shouting out stuff.
Because
they're so happy about it. Because like the guy that eats the carrots, his eye, he can see in the dark. He immediately punches the sky and there's almost like a sort of fireball around his fist. And there's just words next to it. It just says, carrot vision, which is amazing. Which is, it cuts back to the ship, and one of the lines, even though, I mean, there is a great sense of humour running all the way through this book, but because of my nature, I just laughed at this. Someone says, "What are you doing, Chuck? Why don't you take your mind off the guys and come and give me a hand chopping cheese?" And there's no metaphor there. It's just a guy actually chopping cheese. But he just made me laugh.
I have to say, I think we had one episode where we talked about who we'd like to see drawing sort of mainstream heroes, didn't we? And I said, I'd love to see him draw Groot in a series. And he drew me a Groot and brought it to London Super Comic Con, and it's like best thing ever. It looks gorgeous. Would pay good money to see him do a Groot comic. Yeah, definitely.
I tell you what I like to see him do. I like to see him do some sort of trippy dream sequence of a Doctor Strange book.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Oh, yeah. We like Dreamlike, don't we?
Yeah, we love dreamscapes. But the story itself is great. It rolls along at a great pace. I won't spoil it, because I think with Daryl's books, you just got to go in, pick up the issues and see it for yourself, haven't you, really? And then you'll just get caught up in the great sort of just the positivity of it and just the fun. But there is a twist involving the character Jillian, or it could be Gillian. I don't know. We muck up names every week on this show. But there's a twist involving that character that blew my mind and actually had me cheering. So it was great. If there's a minor constructive criticism, this is very minor, and that's that in this issue some of the lettering looks a little small in places.
Okay.
It's only certain word balloons, and it's completely readable by my eyes, but maybe something to take on board for the next issue. I mean, I say that, but I with every issue I see the confidence growing with Darryl's work. You know, the lines get tighter, just the storytelling progresses. It's just fun, enthusiasm. It's just good comics, good fun comics, and we need more of stuff like this, especially in like the small press and indie scene. So I love it. And he makes all of these books himself, and it's one hell of a professional product and amazing value. It's just brilliant. He's a creator that's been he's unblemished by the rigors of conventions and comics, isn't he, really?
So yeah, definitely.
At the moment, he's all passion and enthusiasm. So he hasn't been beaten down by the world. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've got all that to look forward to, ladies.
Here we go.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, you're exactly the same. You're passionate, you're enthusiastic. When we have you back on the show next year, we'll see how you're getting on.
Yeah. Post death match.
It's this sort of like artistic enthusiasm and just love for the genre and art that we need more of. You know, especially, you know, you look on social media and even just talking about conventions, everything's so cynical. So when I pick up books like this, or, you know, read stuff like Lost Light or anything like that, it's just a wonderful escape from everything. And that's what I love stuff like this. It just totally takes me away from everything. And also, at the same time, he's done a zine himself, which I picked up, which is basically a Thorpe zine, number 5, which is a collection of artwork involving characters and creations from a few of like the hugely creative worlds that he's got. I think the best way to say it, I think these ideas escape from his brain, don't they, really? Some way, and make their way on a page. Or a wall, you know. He'll do art anywhere, that boy. But these are great. And we've actually, looking through it, we've been lucky enough to have some original pieces of artwork given to us. So thank you very much, Darryl.
Yes, superb.
Yeah. So, and he's going to be at Thought Bubble as well. So he's another one to check out. So definitely find his table. You can find him on Twitter at Mr. Thorpe. And go to Thorpe, that's F instead of Thorpe. So thorpe.co.uk, and also deathbyheroism.com. So, just great stuff. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice one.
Yeah, you might be hearing more from him fairly soon.
Very soon.
That's the plan. He's a ledge.
Yeah. I think he told me once that his office listens to this show.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
Sorry.
We apologise for everything we've ever said.
Yeah. How can we make him even more embarrassed? I love you, Darryl. Yeah. Why don't you call
me back?
You
said he had nice eyes.
I didn't say eyes.
romance.
We're always making love connections on this show.
Classic romance.
I think so.
I'll hug anyone. I don't care. We got see. There's so many great books recommended this week. I knew we would have loads of great books to recommend this week. It's another cracking one, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone's too tired to be enthusiastic now. Brian is quiet. She's probably asleep after a bottle of wine. So,
got one glass left.
We'll have to move on to the Class A's for the next show. I don't know what's happening.
Now.
Yeah. Other drugs are available.
Yes, and thank you very much, Brian and Claire, for joining us this week. It's been awesome.
Yeah, it's been really
good. Thank you very much for having us.
How was your first podcast appearance?
Well, this is my second.
I wasn't talking to you.
This is my first with Claire and with you guys, and it was loads of fun. I really enjoyed. Casting was pretty fun, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I've put them on the spot there. They kind of have to say.
Don't they? I was a bit embarrassed.
So bad. That was really good.
Oh, brilliant.
Good.
Brilliant. They'll say God knows whatever as soon as we stop recording. And you lovely people out there, thank you very much for listening. And you can say God knows whatever you want several different ways. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. If there's any future events or comics or anything coming up that we need to know about, email us tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @theawesomepod, where we'll say who our next guest is. Who knows? I've given the keys to the kingdom to both Tony and Dan. So who knows what's said online on that Twitter account now?
I know. I accidentally put something on there recently, and then I went back to my own account and went, oh, I wrote that.
Yeah.
We do that all the time, don't we?
Oh, man. Oh, the amount of things I've written on the Wine and Zine account. I'm like, delete, that's the wrong account.
Yeah.
just messaging people, I'm like, oh, that's the wrong one.
Yeah. I have to be careful when I'm posting pictures of my cat. I'm
watching Netflix tonight, and I'm like, oh, whoop, nope. That's not a professional account. Times. Why am I in charge of it?
Because you're the producer. Yeah.
You're the producer type, apparently.
Yes, get rid of it. I do.
You people out there, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast, and join the group that's just the best place on Facebook, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Awesome Comics Talk. Find it on Facebook, join it, and it's some of the most thought-provoking discussions you'll find on Facebook, I think.
Mm. I think so. Yeah. Well,
yeah. Well, we're going to say that, aren't we? Yeah. I just want to say for the record that I don't post that much on it, so I'm being... I'm not just talking
whatever.
About...
I'm honestly beginning to fucking hate Facebook.
What do you mean beginning? I've hated it for months. The only reason I go on it to check this bloody group...
Yeah. I've disliked it for a while, but it's kind of creeping over to fucking hating it.
Sorry, Claire's mum.
Yeah. I'm not a friend with Claire's mum on Facebook, so it's fine.
Don't make that a thing.
Make that a thing. Yeah, okay.
We could call this episode Claire's Mum, couldn't we?
Oh, my God. Oh, she'd love it.
What's the name of the wine you're drinking?
Ooh,
we don't actually have the bottle.
It's got a donkey on it. That doesn't help.
It's got some kind of a donkey on it.
Donkey wine. There you go.
Donkey wine bracket. Sorry, Claire's mum.
It's retro, so.
Oh, Claire went all out tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And, I've forgotten where I am in my links. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, wherever you found
that's not a made up thing, that's genuine.
No, they're all genuine. And thank you for listening if you found us on those networks. If you can leave a review, please do. Go on. We haven't had an iTunes review in ages.
I would love to see a review from Claire's mum. That's what I'd like.
Yes. You were doing it.
She barely knows how to work.
Oh,
things.
No, you can help her out. It'll be fine. I sorted my gran how to send a picture on her phone today. You can show your mum.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I'll do it. Make it happen.
What we're saying is Claire the IT support of Wine and Zine? Is that what you're saying?
No. That'll probably be Gemma. Gemma's the go-to.
She knows her. She
Gemma's
knows her
friend.
Shit.
Yeah.
She knows her shit.
Get Gemma on here next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've just messaged Gemma. She said she's coming on next week.
Sorted.
Oh dear. Now, time to sign off, I think. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, where can people find us online, etc.? Tony, do you want to go first?
Okay, I'm guest blogger on 2000AD and Beyond site.wordpress.com this week, which is a great new site. We've talked about it recently. If you've got a book, needs reviewing, send it in to these guys, great people. Yeah. Or you can find me on Twitter at EZOHYZ.
Lovely. Dan?
You can. I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
Nice. And your volume two, Vanguard. Your volume two is available. On
yes, you can buy volume one and two separately or both together on Vanguard Comic / Big Cartel. If you search Big Cartel on Vanguard Comic, it'll pop up.
There you go.
Cool.
Copies are available. Operator standing by.
Yes.
Oh dear. You can find me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmaskfrommars.com. And ladies, where can people find you?
Right. Oh, here comes the list. So for Wine and Zine, we have a website where you can pre-order Swap and also order our story so far on wineandzine.bigcartel.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Wine and Zine. And
that's got links to all of our individual Twitter accounts as well.
All of the stuff, which is
cool.
Great.
Yeah, and then my website's www.clairespiller.co.uk, and that links all my Twitter and Instagram and everything, and my shop where you can pre-order Lost Light. Anything else? You? Brian? Hello?
You're sitting next to it.
I haven't got a website. I've just got my...
Well, what's your Twitter? What's your Twitter, dear?
Okay, here we... Let me think. Right, so my Twitter is at flourishingquirk, but without an O.
Oh, and I'm Claire with an I. That's been confused a lot lately. So.
Yeah.
With an I, people.
Aren't you doodleboogie.tumblr.com?
I've been really unprofessional and just chosen all the names for all the different things.
Well, they're all cats, aren't they?
Yeah. That's what happens before you think.
Before you think.
You have a lot. The fun thing I was doing before, now it's like, that's the whole thing. I'm like, oh, bloody hell. Well, I'm on this and this. So, okay, yeah, flourishing quirk, but the flourishing does not have a... oh. Flourishing. Because it was already taken, and I was like, no, I want to be that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this is why I don't really like to... Just
did I push you? Did I push you to do it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Have you broken her? Is that what has happened? Oh dear! What a show! Thank you very much for coming on again. It was amazing. I think this one's going to be popular with the listeners as well. This one.
We'll see you.
Yeah. Once again, if you're going to Thought Bubble, people, be sure to check out Wine and Zine. Yes. There'll be more than two of them. There'll be a gang.
Scattering around.
They're like the mafia.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
they are. Comics mafia.
The Thought Bubble mafia. Yes. So, check them out at Thought Bubble. But until Thought Bubble, have a brilliant week, folks. Read lots of comics. And from everyone here, I'm not going to read out the list of names because I'll get confused myself. So, have a brilliant week. And as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
Bye. To spend time with a room full of cats.
There's a reason there's not dog cafes.
Yeah. I think that's called dogging. I think that's what they